presentations, water cooler chats, groupthink meetings to kick up thought showers. Office life can be dull. Learn what's happening in nature and on the farm every week with Mairead Lavery from the Farmer's Journal. It's time for our farming slot. Mairead joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Not bothering me.
The weather hasn't been great, but has been that terrible?
Oh, do you know what? Aren't we perennially talking about the weather?
But yeah, well, it's a thing. Nice today.
When it comes to farming, it's just so absolutely critical. And there we were all through January and February. Okay, the weather was lovely. In most parts of the country, it wasn't bad at all. Very little rain. But farmers were darkly muttering, we'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. And we'll pay for it yet. So either it'll come down in deluge in May and June, or, you know, it was going to be snowed up in March. But as it turned out, the last couple of weeks have just been horrendous when it comes to rainfall. We've just got some figures from the different stations around the country. So if you thought it was wet, you were right. You really were right. Roaches Point down in Cork, 335% of normal. 60 millimetres of rain fell. Actually, they did a lot worse than Valencia, 228% of average rainfall in the area. Wexford, again, of course, the sunny southeast bears out its name. Johnstown Castle, only 112%. So, you know, not absolutely massive there. And, you know, the Midlands as well, Tipperary, Gortine, 274%. And then, of course, you know, up the country, you're talking about Claremorris, 235, Mullingar, 246, and Belmullet, 228. But Malin Head then, you think the top of Donegal, you know, it'll be really, really wet as well, but actually 143. So the East Coast, from top to bottom, and kind of across the north, not as bad as the south, but the wettest place in the country in the last period, Roaches Point. And that would be a part of the country, if you're thinking where Roaches Point is, it's near, you know, it's just outside Cork City. It'd be a big dairying country there. And an awful lot of farmers would have prided themselves on having their cows out for the 1st of February. Because getting the cows out is like kind of going from baby to high infants, you know, and you don't want to go back. You have no feeding, you have no scraping out, you have none of this hard work that goes on in the yard. They're out in the grass, you're going out and having a walk around them. It's a nice dry day, they're munching away, they're lying down, and then they go in the next field and paddock and you're moving them ahead and it's lovely. And then the rain comes down and a robin would leave marks on the ground, not a mind, a bunch of 70 cows. And if you
get... And that destroys it for grass.
Absolutely destroys it. It's called poaching, and I've always said here, that's nothing to do with eggs.
Yeah.
It's the way they destroy it. You see, their hoof mark goes in. And if you come from kind of wet country like where I am now down in West Limerick, every hoof mark they make, the local farmers say, that grows a bed of nettles. Or not nettles, rushes.
Mm.
It's just a complete bed of rushes because it just won't kind of soak back up. So anyway, a lot of the cows were getting reports. They're back in, certainly by night. A lot of them by day, or maybe they've been out only for a few hours. But the good thing is we're now past the 1st of March. You know, January and February, November is behind us. You've only got March and April, and hopefully, you know, a couple of days of dry, windy weather would see everything right in the world.
Okay.
There's plenty of grass being grown. It hadn't been hit by heavy frost or anything like that. So growth has been good. The grass is there. We just need the conditions to be able to put the livestock out on it.
Right, okay. But having to do it later, though, has a knock-on
cost,
of
course. Yeah, but especially for the guys. I mean, there's loads of people. Now, down, again, my part of the country, you know, the cows mightn't see grazing until the middle of April or even up to May because the way the ground is structured there, the soil is structured. So they build themselves for a long winter. But in other parts of the country, you know, they don't have an awful lot of fodder saved. They work on the principle of maybe the cow's out first week of February, not in until maybe the first week of December. So they're only talking about a very short winter. And you know, it's like, you know, if you imagine if you've 90 guests in a hotel and you're not going to be let go to the grocery shop for 3 months.
Yes.
You have an awful lot of stuff to stock up on. Because by golly, if you run out and you have nothing to feed them on and you can't let them out to grass, you're going to pay really through the nose for fodder at this time of the year, for hay or silage or meals or anything like that. Really expensive. And of course, that puts everybody in bad humour because now the year's only started and already you're behind in your budgets.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, it's 15 degrees out there at the minute. I hope it's like that all over the country. The sun is shining up here. I hope it's like that around the country as well, and we get the ground dried up and get the livestock out onto the fields.
Now, we don't think of Saudi Arabia
as even having cows, really. But they have to, I imagine they'd have to keep, if they are rearing cows, they'll have to keep them indoors all the time.
Oh, well, now, look at, would you think now there's a farm out in Saudi Arabia?
No.
No, there's not. But it happens to have some of the biggest dairy farmers in the world, or dairy farms, rather. And they're very much self-sufficient, or, you know, they try to be self-sufficient when it comes to the production of dairy, and particularly milk, fresh milk. So Almarai is a company that's been really synonymous with dairying and farming in Saudi Arabia for absolutely donkey's years. And, you know, they would have an awful lot of Irish people working out there, farm managers, different, you know, lot managers. And when you think about maybe the Irish, the average Irish dairy herd, you know, what, maybe 40 to 70 or 80 cows, that kind of a situation. And, you know, we're always kind of, how would you say, bleating on. I mean, the way people would see it like this, maybe bleating on about the family farm in Ireland. Mm. Well, I mean, you know, what you could be competing against if these people ever decided to go exporting, or if America went really big scale into dairying, which they're kind of inclined to do. You're talking about a farm out here with, it's the Al-Badlaya farm. I've probably pronounced that wrong, but it has 46,000 livestock, head of livestock on it, 23 of which are dairy cows. 23,000 cows.
My God. And this is all indoors.
They're all indoors. Every bit of this is indoors. The, Patrick Donoghue, our news editor, was out there as part of that government trip last week, and he came back with some of the statistics. They were out touring the place. And, I mean, it would absolutely put your eyes out in stalks. 26,000 dairy cows. I mean, there's probably not 26,000 cows in some counties in Ireland. Yes. Not a mind in the one feedlot. Mm. But, I mean, the fact that in the one lot that there's 46,000 animals altogether, like, it's just unthinkable to see that many. Just like some of the figures there, the milk lorry comes in every 40 minutes. Now, in Ireland, it's every 2 or 3 days. It's every 2 or 3 days. And I can tell you, they're not taking about a little sup of milk out of it.
Yeah.
They're taking a big wallop of milk. There's 2,500 calf hutches. That's where you rear the little calves in. And their busiest day last year was when they had 127 calves. Now, most farms in Ireland, you know, if they had 127 calves, like, they'd love to get it in 8 weeks or 10 weeks. You know, that would be considered a good interval for calving, that number of calves. But, you know, 127 calves all in the one day, and the minding and the managing of that is something else. So, you know, it's one of a range of farms that they have out there. And
This is,
know,
to kind of make themselves self-sufficient for milk, at
for
least.
Milk in particular. Milk is what? They milk the cows 4 times a day, starting at midnight.
Mm.
Now, looking at the sheds, they don't look to be, like, totally covered over. It's like, you know, they have a roof on them. So I presume they have some air system, because you couldn't possibly have dairy cows in the temperatures that Saudi runs to, which is like the middle 50s for a lot of the year. So, but
wouldn't,
anyway,
it make their production of milk extremely expensive? Would it not be cheaper to just import it from, say, us?
Well, fresh milk, very difficult.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, you know, you can. This is why we import export powdered milk. You know, you won't get the lifespan on the fresh milk. Imagine the lorries are collecting it every 20 minutes. So it's hardly in the tanks before it's gone out of the yard.
That's extraordinary.
So it's extremely fresh. But the thing about this is that it's an Irish guy who's running the whole ship. A man by the name of Tony Gavin, and there's most of the senior staff and the vets are also Irish, and it's a great place to go, seemingly, if you want to get experience as a vet, because you've got so many livestock, and
God,
their herd health status is really, really important, because if anything goes wrong, it'll
spread,
sweep through it. So my understanding is that I think they're paying, is it 40,000 a year for milkers? And that's tax free, so that's like earning 80,000 a year here. You're not going to get that if you're dairying if you're milking cows in this country.
Yes.
Even if you're owning the farm, and you're hardly going to get it. But I mean, very substantial money, tax free, with housing, everything on board, flights, the whole lot. So if you think you're good at milking cows and you fancy a bit of a change in your lifestyle, you could go out to Saudi Arabia and have a gig at what's going on.
That'd be a hell of a change. All right. Now, we did talk a couple of weeks ago about 4 heifer calves born.
Girl calves.
Yeah, and Now that's been topped now, it's not calves though.
No. It's little lambs. Yeah. And a farmer above in Donegal went out and found, now he wasn't as surprised now as the man in Clare, because these yows had been scanned, and the yow had been scanned to have four lambs. So he knew there was four coming. So he was giving her very special attention. And you can imagine with four lambs, all legs and arms, that's four, that's 16 legs. It's easy to miss one more. So they missed one, and she ended up having five little lambs, and they were all in good health. And actually, they were great size. I'm looking at a photograph of them here as she had them, and they were, you know, they're great size. So she's looking after three of them. They've two of them farmed out to other yows, adopted by other yows, which is an absolute skill in itself. The skill of getting a yow to accept a lamb that isn't her own and feed it is one of the real husbandry skills of farming. It's absolutely amazing when it happens and when you succeed in doing it. And it's a pure disaster when you don't. But if you can get it done, you know, it's a great job altogether. But anyway, they had five. And it's the farmer's name is Dominic McGorry, and he's in Ballydermot Ballintra in County Donegal. But according to Chagas, Michael Godstein, who's the head of the sheep programme there, it's not a trend that's happening. We're not going in, we're not having more lambs. It's just as a real fluke there. But actually the litter size is actually declining a bit this year. Well, not a big issue around but it's just marginally down. So there's this idea that they're all coming out with quads and triplets all over the place. No, it's very rare, very unusual. And for them all to arrive live and well is even better.
Yeah, indeed. Mairead Lavery is editor of Irish Country Living and Irish Country Magazine in the Farmer's Journal. Mairead, thanks a million for coming into us.
Tune in every Wednesday from 2:45 to learn more about farming life on Moncrief.